It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In Wisconsin, 1,500 people are waiting for a life-saving organ transplant. But for the first time in 14 years, the annual number of deceased organ donations in the U.S. has declined. And this is bearing out in Wisconsin.
In March, the Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service spoke with Versity Blood Center of Wisconsin. The center's network reported a big jump in the number of Wisconsinites who have removed themselves from the state donor registry.
This comes as the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services proposed a new rule for the organ donation system. The federal agency seeks to increase oversight with the goal of improving the performance of organ procurement organizations.
Our next guest says that the metrics used to assess those organizations are flawed and that federal changes could eliminate more than half of the groups that run the organ donation system nationwide.
Dr. Matthew Cooper is Chief of Transplantation and Director of Solid Organ Transplant at Froedtert and Medical College of Wisconsin. Dr. Cooper, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Give us a working knowledge of how organ donation works in Wisconsin. Death is declared. Surgeons recover organs, if possible. For someone who is on the organ registry, how does this work?
Yeah, that's correct. I appreciate the question. So organs are allocated in Wisconsin and the entire United States based upon need. And so rather than there being a geographical connection to where donors may donate the gift of life, it really is a prioritization. If we were to focus first maybe on kidney transplant, primarily on amount of time that someone's on dialysis. And so individuals who, again, decide to be organ donors in conjunction with our partners in the community, the organ procurement organizations, here in southeastern Wisconsin, that's a group named Versity. They're the one individuals that work with the donor families at the donor hospital and organize the procurement procedure at that donor hospital. And then, like I said, based upon a very transparent and very regularly reviewed algorithm, the decision as to who is in most need of the organs determines where the organs go. There is some limits because of the appreciation that the longer that an organ is out from donor to recipient, potentially a risk of poor outcomes exists. But again, our purpose in allocation is to really assure that everybody has equal access to organs. And so again, local organs can go a little bit of a distance, but it is based upon location, it's based upon prioritization. And again, very important that we have that relationship with our organ procurement organizations that work with those donor families to help people through these difficult times.
I think about how this all has to happen very smoothly. It has to happen pretty seamlessly and quickly since the organ has to stay stable. Is that right?
It's correct. All of this is organized and the recipients are identified, you know, before the actual surgical process, because to your point, we want to try and get the organ from donor hospital to recipient hospital as quickly as possible. And there's so much that happens, you know, behind the scenes that perhaps is unappreciated, but is so very important to the outcomes for transplantation. It's something I always want to assure that, particularly this month being Donate Life Month, that listeners recognize that transplant is so incredibly successful, but it demands a donor and a donor organ. And so there's so much effort that's placed around assuring that the donation process happens very smoothly so that we can even begin to celebrate transplant.
Let's turn our attention now to the policy side of this. Can you explain how a proposed federal government rule change by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, how that would affect the current organ system that you just laid out?
Well, I think it's important to appreciate that all of us in the donation and transplant space are consistently concerned about how can we do things better. And I think if you were to ask anyone currently in the position of leadership at an organ procurement organization, they would say, we can and should do better. We say that in transplant as well. But there is, you know, currently a plan to relook at the certification of organ procurement organizations. There's 54 of them in the United States based upon really geographical patterns decided many decades ago. But there is an expectation that sometime in April, we're expecting sometime in the near few weeks that a decision will be made as to potentially decertifying a significant number of those OPOs. And while we in the great state of Wisconsin, you know, should be happy that we have very high performing OPOs, there's some neighboring OPOs that perhaps because of imperfect metrics with which OPOs are currently evaluated, you know, could have some significant disruptions in their activities, which, as I stated, you know, could affect the ability for those organs to be allocated and then be transplanted. And so my concern and others' concerns is we have to make sure that we are utilizing the right data to assess performance. And with that assessment of performance, that we are giving our organ procurement organization leaders the opportunity to improve, and that we aren't creating what potentially could be organs that could not get to their recipients and therefore lost opportunities. And so right now, that's where we find ourselves, is in the midst of a time cycle where a large number of these OPOs could either be immediately decertified or they could have to compete for maintaining their certification, which the worry is could that disrupt any donations as that time is happening and potentially lead to less transplants?
With these organ procurement organizations, these OPOs, are there nonprofits in Wisconsin that manage organ procurement that could be affected by this potential rule change?
Yeah, so all OPOs, you know, currently are nonprofit organizations. And again, while there has been some suggestions that either other nonprofits could take over the activities of an organ procurement organization or a for-profit organization, which brings additional challenges to the decision-making around organ donation and the decisions around appropriateness for donation, you know, those things would take some time to develop. And we have really yet to hear from the federal government the specifics of how that might look. And I think that's, you know, again, some of the concern that I and others have is without full transparency and without fully aware of what the government is anticipating as the challenges when looking at recertification or decertification, that again, any day, any time lost, you know, could result in loss of the gift of life. And so that's why I think it's going to be critically important going forward that we're all sitting down together. I think one of the takeaways from our time spent here is that I believe, and many of us believe, that the professionals in donation and transplantation are fully committed to this, and wanting to keep us literally at the table is very important in any of these decisions. And every effort to stay apolitical and make sure that we are all cognizant of the fact that organ transplant saves lives. Let's not pull those that have spent their entire lifetime in this business away from the decision-making. And so I think there's opportunity here. Let's just make sure that we're all on the same page, sort of rowing the boat in the same direction.
Dr. Cooper, with potential decertifications of some of these organizations, is there a particular group of transplant patients on the waiting list who would be most affected?
I don't think there's a specific group, as you know, organ procurement organizations and donors, you know, all have sort of different opportunities afforded to them, meaning there are donors that are potentially 7 organ donor candidates. Mm. There are some donors which are less so, but those organs are allocated, again, based upon an algorithm that in many ways takes specific demographics out of the decision-making of prioritization, because again, for the reasons mentioned, there's a purposeful decision-making around equal access. So I think all of the types of organs people waiting for could be affected, because if an OPO is decertified in that geographic region, which is responsible from that OPO, loses those donations, then yes, all the organs and all the patients waiting for those organs can be affected. But again, really every demographic, creed, color, race, religion, could all miss out on this opportunity. So that's why, again, this isn't a specific group that is more concerned than another. We're all concerned because we all are potentially affected.
We are with Dr. Matthew Cooper, Chief of Transplantation and Director of Solid Organ Transplant at Froedtert and Medical College of Wisconsin. And we're talking with him about new developments in the organ donation system in the U.S. and how it might affect people waiting for transplants here in Wisconsin. Why have we seen such an increase in people removing themselves from the organ donation registry?
A very important question. Thank you for asking. So I think we should, you know, be proud that the donation and transplant system of the United States is the most successful system in the entire world based upon the numbers of transplants that we see year over year. And every year we've continued to see an increase in the numbers of deceased donor transplants. Last year, however, was different. The 20 years prior, we had an increasing number of registrants. And 2025 was the first where we saw a decrease. And some of that has to do with some of what we either hear on the radio or see on the televisions, particularly around organ donation and some what I would say are misperceptions or misrepresentations of what the organ donation process is about. I don't believe they were absolutely expected to cause such concern, but without the complete story, that I think we already recognize there is some uncertainties in the public space around organ donation. And really all it takes is a question mark in the minds of the public to say, boy, I wonder, as I have heard, that if I sign my organ donor card, that perhaps at the time of injury, professionals in the hospital might not take exquisite care of me as I would expect. That of course, is absolutely not true. And then the second thing is questions around whether or not individuals who have been declared dead, because that has to be an absolute, someone has to be declared dead before they can proceed to organ donation. But before that, were they moving too quickly? And a patient who was in fact not dead moved forward with organ donation. And again, that is another perhaps incomplete story that has some factual details to it, but some additional pieces that the public should know about, that again is concerning to the population. Now we, the donation and transplant professionals, we have to earn back that public trust. I think that's fair. I think we have the expectation that we provide that factual information, we fill in the gaps of incomplete stories, and we do everything we can to regain that public trust. But over 2025, some of those stories have led individuals to either withdraw their name from the national waiting list or to prevent them from moving forward. We have about 60% of Wisconsinites are actually signed up to be potential deceased donors. And I think the majority of that other 40% just needs more information. And that's what we're here doing today.
What could be the motivation for someone or perhaps an organization to try to mislead the public on organ donation?
Again, I hope it's not purposeful. I just think that it is, again, an incomplete story that gets people's attention. And if there is, a desire to complete the narrative or complete the story, you know, many of us would raise our hand to say, boy, we'd like to we recognize the fact that there's pieces of this story that aren't complete and are leading to people's concerns. I would hope that wouldn't be the intent for anybody, because as we continue to say, organ donation saves lives. And if there's a concern that what people are hearing, it was going to lead to the result that we just talked about, then I think before anybody puts anything into print or on the radio waves, let's sit down and make sure that we have the full story, because no one wins if we lose out on organ donation and organ transplantation. I think we can all conclude that it's worth the time to make sure that the story is complete and that the facts and the details are thorough.
Well, let's look more closely at the details and these additional pieces. What do people need to know about what happens at time of death and declaring death?
So I think it's important to appreciate that a hospital is the group and the providers that are caring for that individual, either potentially when they come in for an accident or a trauma event, or when they're in the hospital for whatever reason. The hospital and their providers are the individuals that make either the determination of death or that the individual has sustained a significant neurological injury, that the potential for recovery is very poor. The hospital is then responsible by law to contact the organ procurement organization. The organ procurement organization then comes on site. They review the information. They then speak to the providers taking care of that individual. And collectively, they actually go to the family and discuss organ donation. And so there is already a degree of separation between organ procurement organizations and patients, with the team determining that it's appropriate to even bring the OPO on site to start that process. And then the OPO again counsels the family, lets them know either that their loved one has signed up, has provided first person authorization by signing up either through the DMV or on the national website. And with that, I believe it gives the family the confidence to then know what their loved one would want, because recognizing that's a very difficult time for families, regardless of donation, just to accept the loss of a loved one, but then to have to decide what would their loved one want at the time of their death, signing your organ donor card, in many ways, I think relieves that burden from your family. If not signed, then the organ procurement organization and the family have a conversation. What would you believe your loved one would want? Would this be an opportunity for your loved one to live on through transplantation, through the many that could benefit from their gift of life? And then again, after, you know, either that first person consent or the consent of the family, the process moves forward with organ donation at the donor hospital.
I want to return here to this proposed rule, you know, by the federal government and how the organ procurement system is working in America. If this federal rule would go into effect in coming weeks or months, how would your work change? How would things change in your department?
Well, we have a tremendous and an important partnership with the organ procurement organizations across the entire U.S. And so, you know, if our partners in the OPO community are struggling either to recertify or to then figure out if someone has lost their certification and who is potentially taking that over, the challenge will be, you know, in an already complicated, difficult coordination of efforts, often in the middle of the night, you know, weekends, holidays, and trying to figure out all of the logistics. Now we have an extra variable that we have to figure out. Is the team still able to fully carry out their operational activities as they are also now focusing on either recertification or who is going to come and take over this geographical area for the OPO? So it misdirects our attention. Again, not saying that there potentially is an opportunity to improve or that potentially there are organ procurement organizations that need some change, but if it's not carefully thought out, there's the risk that the focus could be on other things rather than the donors, the donor families, organs for donation and organs for transplantation. And I don't think any of us wants that to happen. And so it would very much complicate an already complicated system.
Dr. Cooper, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure being here. Thank you very much for highlighting donation, particularly during April as a Donate Life Month.
Dr. Matthew Cooper, the Chief of Transplantation and Director of Solid Organ Transplant at Froedtert and Medical College of Wisconsin. We talked about new developments in the organ donation system in the U.S. and how it might affect people waiting for transplants in Wisconsin. For disclosure, Froedtert and Medical College of Wisconsin is a business sponsor of WPR.